The Holy Gospel for this day, the second Sunday of Advent, is recorded in Mark, the first chapter. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, "Behold, I am sending my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness. Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the River Jordan, confessing their sins. Now, John was clothed with camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I'm not worthy to stoop down and untie the thongs of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with Holy Spirit." The Gospel of our Lord. Please be seated. The beginning of the good news. Did that catch you there? Did you catch that? The very first thing, right out of the starting gates, Mark, the writer of this gospel, makes it clear how he wants you to read the entire book of Mark. Mainly this: assume it's all good news. This entire book, and the entire Bible even, really, too. Ted Cooper would, I'm sure, encourage you in the same way. Assume it's all good news, even when in the first instance it doesn't sound very good. Old or New Testament. When you read anything this year, it's going to be our main gospel reading, by the way, the book of Mark. So I'm going to encourage you to assume that it's all good news. And then the question for you to ask is not, is it good news, but how is this good news? How is this good news? That's what I'd like to encourage you to ask this year of this book. And Mark says, this good news starts right here out in the wilderness with this crazy prophet Elijah lookalike, the cousin of Jesus named John. We call him the Baptizer. Out there in the River Jordan, he's getting everybody's attention from city and countryside. He's preparing the way for us to receive some incredibly good news. And today, I want us to just focus on only one amazing facet of the diamond of the good news that we're going to find in the Gospel of Mark this year. There's so many in this good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Just this one. What appears to be an obstacle is not. What appears to be an obstacle is not. The obstacles are of our own making, because as Mark goes on throughout this gospel, he tells us the rest of the story, how God has already gotten obstacles out of the way, all sorts of them, through the birth, life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. But so much of life, you know, we tend to look at it as if it were exactly what this sign proclaims, right? Obstacle. At least that's what most of life is about, we think, trying to overcome obstacles. But what appears to be an obstacle is not. Well, you're going to probably say, what did he drink down in Peru there, all of a sudden, thinking there's no obstacles in life? Well, take a look at this budget problem, you might say to me, that we're going to be talking about this morning and next Sunday. And I hope you all do spend some time in there and get your feedback in. And look at the fight that's going on over immigration reform that's just even getting heated up even more in Washington. Or look at how hard it is to get into a decent school for my kids. Or, you know, and I'm not even talking about college, just preschool it's hard to get into around here. Or you know, kids to get through 12 years of education in Texas, you know how many tests they have to take now? I think I read this past week, teachers, you probably know this, 14 tests over the course of their 12 school years. Bless their hearts, our legislators want to add some more tests. They want to even test three-year-olds, for heaven's sakes. You might say, you know, I can't even get my phone cell apps to work, much less solve world hunger or something, you know. Obstacles, obstacles, kind of like this, you know. Doesn't it feel like that? We face life like that. One great big hard rock in the middle of the road. Or one big rock after another. It's like after you get around this one, just around the bend, you figure, yeah, there's going to be another one right around the next bend. Another big one. Well, repentance has been traditionally preached in Advent here this Sunday and preached this way in the church. There's all these obstacles. I have to work hard to acknowledge and get out of the way for the Lord to come into my life. I was taught that in seminary and that I needed to preach in Advent about the fire of repentance and fundamental change. Don't you love that phrase? I did. The fire of repentance and fundamental change. And it was especially a good time to get out a prophetic hammer and hit people over their heads with all the ways we were spiritually unprepared for the Lord's return and how unprepared for his return we were in terms of the haves and have-nots of our world, the equality and justice issues. You know, sure, we're doing turkeys at Christmas, but where are the fair wages for work done? You know, that kind of stuff. Well, we were taught, you know, you need to preach repentance that way for everybody's good. You know what? I might have felt morally superior when I was preaching it that way, but I don't know that it ever led to anything even slightly redemptive for people in their lives. So, one way to look at repentance is that it's all swimming upstream, or at least crawling over one rock after another in the stream of life, right? To, you know, clawing to get upstream. But really, if you look at this picture, which way is the water flowing? Well, you guys are a little slow. Did you have your coffee yet? Downstream, right? Isn't that how it flows? Amen? Okay. All right. Thank you. Of course, it flows naturally, and whatever obstacles are in the way, and notice this, what's the water do? Yeah, it flows right over and around it. Nothing stops the water from flowing, does it? Well, sometimes before it flows downstream, it has the time to build a beautiful lake or pond even like this when there are especially huge blockages. Isn't that beautiful? But even, you know, and even the snow and ice of winter up north like this reminded me of, even that can't stop the water from flowing downstream, doing what it does naturally. Well, guess what? The good news of God, Jesus Christ, the Son of God today, God's goodness and mercy and love and every kind of abundance do the same thing. They flow downstream as naturally as water flowing over obstacles of any kind. So if that's the flow of the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, why do we get so caught up in trying to swim upstream all the time, huh? When everything we want is, or at least really need, is really to be found in the downstream flow. He comes to us over all the obstacles that we put in the way, our fear of being unworthy, our guilt, our shame, the pressure we put on ourselves to be perfect, the pressure we put on our kids to be perfect, whatever. But that's the point of the good news. You can't stop that from flowing, the good news. There's John the Baptist out in the flow of the River Jordan, right? A baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of all those kinds of sins of ours and any other sins. If God's goodness and mercy are all a downward flow of the stream, why are you swimming upstream? What if you just went in the flow of God's goodness and mercy, God's will for your life? That's what it is. And this resistance to God's grace, the pressure to keep swimming upstream, does that come from God? No, that comes from us. You know, this line from the prophet Amos, "Let justice flow down like waters and mercy like an overflowing stream." Even that's a downstream process, isn't it? Stop resisting, it suggests to me, and just let the justice, it will flow, it'll flow. You know, Carol Mann, our LPGA Golfing Hall of Famer around here, who was recovering from her surgery, one time she was trying to get me to relax, giving me a golf lesson, and she finally gave up. She said, "Oh, what the heck?" You know, she didn't say heck, you know her. "Just swing that dang club," she didn't say dang either, "as hard as you can." And every time I swung, she says, "Harder, swing it harder." And she had me do it about 40 times, you know. And, well, all I got from trying harder to swing that ball, and she was swing that club the way she was trying to teach me to whack the ball, all I got out of it was a trip to the chiropractor. So what kind of thinking was that I was doing? Upstream thinking or downstream thinking? Upstream, yeah. Well, in contrast to my challenge at swinging a golf club, Emily recently had gotten some vocal lessons from Austin Hunt, Rob's son, who has this new technique for helping older folks certainly, get their range of voice singing back. And you know what the main principle is? This is interesting. Effortlessness. Let it all relax and let the air flow. And that rebalances in some way the use of all the muscles in your throat. And in two lessons, Emily got her high G back, her soprano range back. So what kind of approach is that? Upstream or downstream? Yeah. Well, when we were at Peru last week, we came back Tuesday, some of us. One of the couples who hosted us on Monday night, just before we left, a farewell party, they shared their story for us. We were asking questions about their business and how it developed. And they told about how easy it was for them to become successful in their business. They just pursued one opportunity that came to them after another. It just happened. It started with Jose having a minivan as a taxi cab, which you see all over the place. And then when they got married, Natalia had a pharmacy degree, and so then they started a pharmacy, and that went well. And then there was this opportunity to haul horses across country. These Lipizzan are like horses. They're beautiful. And in a few years, here they are. They have 8 trucks hauling these beautiful horses all over the continent of South America. And now they're thinking of selling all that off to start some brand new adventure and business. And how do they accomplish all this? They said, well, it's just what we do. Is that upstream or downstream? Downstream, yeah. And in contrast there, at a Philadelphia church, we met a young man named Lorenzo, about 19 years old, and he's clearly struggling to find his way. He's just the most good-looking guy and just the most interesting guy. I first talked to him because he was playing guitar and singing out in the courtyard while we were having lunch. And some of you who were there last time remember this. And I went over and I said, so have you been paid to entertain us during lunch? He says, nope, I just do this for fun. And then a little while longer later, here he was with these, teaching the kids to juggle with these kind of bowling pins, and he was doing like this and being so gentle and sweet and fun with these kids. And I said to him, so are you on the staff with the preschool or something here? And he said, nope, I just do this for fun. And then that night, Sunday night, he came to the youth Bible study that George and Belinda Eason were leading. And at the end of that, Beth Miller, our head of our fair trade store, explained some things about fair trade that she would like to, consider starting a fair trade relationship with Philadelphia Church, and how you could make money by selling crafts, and artisans could sell money, do things and support their church at the same time. And he said, and so she asked if anybody did anything. He kind of said, "Well, I make jewelry, really." Okay, so she said, why don't you bring that tomorrow? We're having a meeting about fair trade on Monday. And he did. He brought this stuff. And when Beth got a look at it the next day, and all of us were looking at it, we were kind of excited to see what he did, she pointed to one set of earrings. She said, I like these. Now, how much do you think they're worth? And he said, 1 soles. That's about 33 cents, by the way. And that's what he was selling them for. She said, what? You got to be kidding. These are worth 7 soles, at least. And he was shocked. First, he was kind of offended. He thought she was patronizing him, and that's a big deal for people in Peru. And so he was kind of backing off on this. And then Belinda grabbed his hands, Belinda, the mom of the universe. And she said, Lorenzo, I need to talk to you about this. Do you realize that in the United States, that's what your stuff is worth? It's beautiful, and it's worth that. Why shouldn't you be able to make a living just doing what you have fun doing? And his eyes just lit up, Just this new awareness. And then, when Beth gave him 28 soles for 4 pairs of earrings, you could tell he was ready to cry. Except men don't cry in Peru, of course. It was just a powerful moment. You could see his wheels spinning. Just maybe, the direction of my life is to be found in doing what's fun for me. And I can maybe even make a living having fun creating stuff. Do you get the difference between upstream and downstream thinking here? Well, so what appear to be obstacles are not. Only in our minds and hearts do those obstacles exist. Do you know what the main act of repentance is? Well, we'll talk about that word. It's awareness. I'm going to invite you into that. Awareness and mindfulness, thinking about what you're thinking about. Is my thinking at any given moment upstream or is it downstream? That's what I want you to be thinking about this week, the second week of Advent. So, for instance, if I'm thinking I have to protect what's mine, is that upstream or downstream? Upstream, yeah. All right. Now, if I say, since everything I have is really God's, I can appreciate whatever he pours into my lap, is that upstream or downstream? Yeah, downstream. There you go. You're getting it? Or if I say, this house has to be in perfect shape for Christmas, upstream or downstream? Yeah, big time. Or try this then. I can enjoy the good news of Jesus' birth this Christmas without breaking the bank. Is that upstream or downstream? Yeah, there you go. All right. Think about what you're thinking about this next week, if you would. Please think about that. That's the repentance I'm calling us to today. Because in the stream of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, what appears to be an obstacle is not. Your thinking, not your circumstances, are what get in the way. And you know what? God can even overcome those obstacles too. So do that. And the second week, invite you to do one more thing. In the news, in your mindful observation, first of all, am I thinking upstream or downstream? Secondly, as I'm listening to the news or things that are going on at work or school or at home with my family, I want you to ask this. Please repeat after me. What's the good news in this situation? Say it again. What's the good news in this situation? And that's one way to repent, to turn around and get yourself headed back downstream where the flow of goodness and mercy is. See if you can recall that this week. I'll just invite you to. I know how distracted we are these days. But maybe you can even start with a budget hearing today asking that question. What's the good news in this situation? Say it one more time. Thank you. Every valley shall be exalted. Every mountain and hill be brought low. The crooked will be straight. The rough places will be made a plain. And all flesh shall see the abundant, ever-flowing, downstream, unstoppable salvation of our God.